All right, we're live.
So this is the plan.
Okay.
I've been thinking very carefully about this.
All right.
So we have this hour at the end of the day.
Right.
And I'm thinking for our podcast, what we do is we talk for the first 10 or 20 minutes, and then we edit that down for the next 40 minutes, and then that's the episode, whatever we can make that day.
Oh, I like that. So it's just like a one take, whatever we can do.
Yeah, and then we can edit it down or put in other things or do whatever.
Right.
But the kind of deadline is the end of the hour, the episode is done.
I think this is a great idea.
And I think it's the only way that this will actually get made.
It is. Because otherwise it's just going to get buried beneath all the other piles of stuff we have to do.
Right. And then we can call it like rough cuts or under construction or the making of the mind.
Or we could just stick with the office hour because that was the original idea and it still works, right? Like we have an hour and this is what we do in the office hour. We record and produce an entire podcast.
Man, do you ever like run into an idea you had before and you didn't realize what the idea was when you had it the first time, but then later when you see it, you're like, man, I wish I'd come up with that idea.
All the time. I'm Andrew Marzoni.
I'm Toby Wilson Bates.
And this is
The Office Hour.
Okay, so let's get started. Tell me about Egghead.
Okay, so Egghead is an academic with an egg for a head.
Uh-huh.
And he's essentially a Marion Britton postdoctoral fellow, and his adventures are essentially trying to figure out what that means.
Tell me about how you got the idea for Egghead.
Man, well, I think the main thing was I wanted it to be an academic comic because I like the idea of it being in textile. So it had to have sort of an academic-y central character. I wanted him to be sort of a cartoon character. And it made sense. It's both sort of a slur and also about my ability to draw.
Uh-huh. Is it that, like, you have a particular adeptness at being able to draw like, an egg shape? Or is it just that, like, that's, like, about the extent of it?
Yeah, I think both, we'll say. I took one art class in college. And because I draw sort of pathologically and have doodled in school for as long as I can remember. And I took this drawing class in college. It's like, oh, I'm really good at drawing. And I'm actually not very good at drawing. And
uh-huh.
I understood that once I saw people who were good at drawing.
I don't think it's that bad.
I did take a drawing class in college. Did I mention?
Yeah. I mean, it looks like you took a drawing class. It doesn't look like you took like two drawing classes, but it does look like you took a drawing class.
And so I figured having a giant head like an egg is both funny and it speaks to academia, but it's also easier to create facial expressions on an egg head.
Absolutely. You have a lot of room.
Yeah, I had this realization. I used to go to all the nude drawing sessions.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time I was there by myself and it was like this old man. And I was just sitting there. It was just him and me in a room, and he was naked, and I was drawing him.
You were the only one drawing him?
I was the only one, like, in the building. It was just him.
How did this happen? Back up. So there's an old man in this new drawing class, and just you, no one else.
It wasn't a class. Every week, they'd have a model come in.
Okay.
And model nude for an hour.
And it just so happened that you were the only one.
At least for the first like 20 minutes of that hour.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there, I'm drawing him. And you know the difference between art students and non-art students because the art students all go and sit in front of the person.
Right.
Because they get to see all the kind of squiggly and dangly bits.
You sat behind him.
I like to sit off to the side. I thought that was tasteful.
A profile.
And so I'm sitting there diligently drawing this naked old man. And after about the first 10 minutes of silence, he's just like, so, how's it going? And it was like the most awkward sentence anyone's ever said.
Well, I imagine the 10 minutes of silence was pretty tense, but that like made it more tense.
Yeah, I guess, especially as a, you know, completely average 19-year-old, having only been, you know, around naked old men in like gym showers, actually having to sort of recognize the intimacy of that moment.
Wait, I have a question. So you said someone else showed up after like 20 minutes.
Oh yeah, then all the art students come in.
Okay, so it wasn't just like one person coming in.
It was like, yeah, the floodgates opened.
Okay. All right, well, let's get back to Egghead. Okay, so I see on this sheet of paper in front of me, a number of different ideas you're trying out in terms of Egghead's appearance. We have some where it is an egg with basically no legs and just feet. Then we have a little bit more leg. Then we have one version of Egghead with a really, really, really long, like human-length legs. And then we have another Egghead that it seems like you gave a little bit of a full corpus to. And then you're pointing off to the side. Is that the Egghead you decided on?
This is the final Egghead.
So this is a final Egghead with no torso, but are those little arms I see?
No, that's just his collar.
He has a collar, no torso, and then sort of like medium-sized legs with shoes.
Yeah, and a tie.
Of course. He has to have a tie. And so the tie like hangs down between his legs, kind of. All the way to his feet. I think that's a really good choice. So, Egghead is a PhD in the digital humanities.
Well, you write what you know.
Yeah, right. Okay. That makes sense. You've got 1 3-panel comic in the works and another 2-panel comic. Describe to me what's going on in each of these.
Well, essentially, the adventures of Egghead, and I imagine these somehow on a continuum with something like Chicken Boo.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you ever watched.
Oh, I know Chicken Boo.
That, like, part of the strange no man's land of the modern digital humanities is sort of not being completely sure what the borders are or what the country is.
Uh-huh.
And that ambiguity being challenging, confusing, bordering on absurd, and that you're doing this kind of tightrope walk in front of an audience of undergrads generally who are also trying to make sense of what you're trying to make sense of as you're trying to deliver it as something completely sensible.
In a comic as auspiciously titled as The Adventures of Egghead, I imagine there needs to be a great deal of conflict. And from my perspective as an educator, most of the conflict that arises is, deriving from such things as, crippling self-doubt, anxiety, frustration. Are those some of the emotions that we can look forward to Egghead dealing with?
Definitely. And I think underlying all of this, one thing I want to sort of wrestle with, hopefully in a comedic way in the comic, is this a meaningful pursuit? And obviously, I think it is, otherwise I wouldn't be in this profession, but I think by addressing that sort of tension, by that stress, I mean, there's one, an extreme amount of sort of quit-lit literature at the moment. Quit-lit literature, that's really, really impressive there.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, a lot of quit-lit at the moment where people are leaving academia for a number of valid reasons. And then there's a lot of literature, too, kind of bemoaning the death of things like liberal arts education and the humanities and sort of a social movement away from the value system or certainly the funding system that used to make these things healthy cultures. And so what are the results of this? How can you turn that tension into something comedic? Is there something salvageable? Is there a way to use that tension sort of productively to articulate what's going on in this space?
What kind of scenarios do you envision Egghead finding himself in?
Well, something I've been thinking about, and as I said, this is quite tentative at the moment, is just interacting with the various sort of allegories that make up the modern department. You know, like, are the lions of the department actual lions? When it, you know, is having an idea like your head hatching? What are the other sort of figures that you'll interact with in these particular spaces? What kind of animals or objects will they be? Like, would a Heideggerian be a hammer? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see Egghead giving trigger warnings. I think that would be a good idea.
Did you read the UChicago thing?
Yes. I've read all of these things.
Well, yeah, what's your thought on that at the moment?
I mean, my thought on it is that there are, like, a lot of, I think, commonsensical, common decency ways to address these issues without all of the terminology, like, safe space and trigger warning. I don't like those words, but I like the intent that is behind them. And I don't like that that intent has been, like, reframed in this unnecessarily political, jargony way. I mean, I think it comes down to, you know, being a compassionate person, caring about your students, not being a jerk. And a lot of the really intelligent responses I've seen to the Chicago thing are saying essentially that, right? Like, all of this is about is just kind of like creating an environment for your students that they like feel comfortable being there and want to be there.
It strikes me this also picks up on one of your other interests, which is the social characterization of millennials as a sort of coddled or spoiled or corrupt generation.
It's true. And I think the rhetoric that's taking shape right now is pretty much identical to what, you know, our grandparents' generation was saying about our parents' generation, right? Like, you know, baby boomers are just, you know, saying the same things about their own kids' generation as their parents are saying about them. In a way that seems to be transparent and completely unreflective.
This is what I think. I think that there's a conversation that's happening that's not the conversation that appears to be actually happening, and that I think there are people sort of scoring easy points in a different way than we're actually keeping score in the sort of public debate over these things. I think a lot of it has to do, one, with the politics of school boards and alumni givers and that kind of thing. And I think there's a certain kind of pitch to the kinds of people who have that money and want to see the school having a certain, I don't know, personality, especially the Chicago School of Economics. And that actually this is more of a kind of political move for branding than it is a statement by the administration on classroom practice.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's also soaked in this kind of rhetoric of masculinity, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody wants everyone to be tough for some reason, right? Like students need to be tough, and the institutions that teach them need to be even tougher. Like, why? Why can't we all be soft? What would be so bad if we were all just soft and cuddly all the time? What would be the problem then? I mean, there would surely be problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's actually bleeds into the presidential campaign at this moment, that I think we have two candidates who in different ways recognize that, like, kind of hardness or sternness or what might you say, like, pragmatism are the sort of key words for voting demographics at the moment.
I agree. But you know what? I think we should pick up with that next week.
Sounds great.
All right. The Office Hour is produced by Andrew Marzoni and Tobias Wilson Bates, Burton Fellows in the Writing and Communication Program at the Georgia Institute of Technology. To find out more about the topics discussed, see our page at textile.lmc.gatech.edu. Thanks for listening.